Everything you know about health is about to change. Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Sometimes people suffer, not from lack of faith, but from lack of knowledge. This is the show that changes that. If you are tired of being sick, tired of not getting answers, tired of spinning in circles, then listen closely to the next 30 minutes. For healing is not a mystery. It is a miracle that you were designed to experience. It takes hard work and real knowledge. It takes patience and time. It takes the education this show can provide. So, get it straight today. Here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. My favorite hour each week. Good morning. I have a wonderful show. You got to put on your thinking caps for this one, but it's so essential that I get you this information. So let me give you the title, and then we'll take it from there. Today's title, Why You Are Not a Slave to Your Genetics. Why You Are Not a Slave to Your Genetics, and How Radical Healing Will Protect You. Now, why do I do this show, which many of you know I've covered in different ways before, but why do we have to cover this? Because each and every one of us will know that day someday. Well, maybe not every one of us, but many of us have known that day where you're given a diagnosis by a medical doctor in a hospital because you've got problems and you're scared. And when you summon up the strength to ask the doctor, what can I do about this outside of drugs and surgery? The doctor will almost always tell you, look, this is genetic, it's in your heritage, and you're just at that point where your genes expressed, and, well, other than drugs and surgery, there's not a lot you can do. Now, we've all been trained since childhood with this fatalistic notion that once something gets tagged to, oh, my father had it, or my mother had it, our family gets it, I got it, it's in the genes, it's fatalistic. And this is what the science, the hard science today, is turning upside down. But you see, the gap time between the hard science turning it upside down and when you hear it from doctors in the hospital on that bleak and dreary day, that gap time can be many, many, many years, or even never. Now, even Google, the owners of Google, are investing money, have invested billions in these DNA profiling kits. So genetics is here. You're not getting it. You're not being bombarded with it yet. But over 10 to 20 years, everything we're learning about the human genome, about the influence and sequences of genes and disease and so on and so forth, and all this great stuff, is going to translate into two sides of the coin. And one side's going to be where it's used against you, to produce an even more fatalistic notion of what you can do. Example, you'll be genetically tested in your youth for which diseases you're more likely to get. And since the notions may be fatalistic behind it, meaning these are the five diseases that you're highly likely to get, and just keep an eye out, but you're going to get them. And that's one way this can work. And it will work this way. The other way is going to be as we uncover, enhance, make more precise our understanding of genetics, the more we're going to see the light on the other side of the tunnel. Now, there's a biologist, molecular biologist, Nessa Carey. There's a whole bunch of them that are doing this now, meaning they're showing you the light on the other side of the tunnel. They're showing you that the word DNA, genetics, oh, it's all in your genes, oh, there's nothing you can do about it, is really a misnomer. But you're not going to hear about that in the hospitals. John Q. Public may never find this out. Worse yet, what the holistic community does, the holistic doctors of sorts do, is take certain terminologies like epigenetics and they twist the meaning of the word into non-scientific interpretations. And then that fuels the fire from the other side. And as always, the truth is down the middle. What genetics means is, yes, you are definitely more likely to get it. I'm going to interpret it in a very practical way. I hope typically practical way I'm going to interpret it for you, that when they say it's in your genes, it means after 60, work really hard not to have those genes express. And I'll get to that later. But you got to come to terms with this. You got to embrace it. You got to love it. It's exciting, just like computers. You know, it still cracks me up how many people that listen to this show don't get on the computer the way I always suggest to look at the pictures. Understandable if you're driving. But how many people have embraced computers, and how many people are still at that point where they're just learning to work the keyboard? And this is the thing. Insights occur that change the world. Computers was one. This thing with genetics is another. You want to get a grip on this because it's going to come into the vernacular of us all in terms of health very soon. And you want to have knowledge so you can protect yourself, better yet, so that you can use it to your advantage, just like you would use a computer to your advantage today. All right, so I want to do just a brief summary. And again, if you're new to the show, get on the website, straighttalk.cc, not .com, straighttalk2t's.cc. That's one word, lowercase. If you can't look at the show today, the pictures, which make this so much easier, do it when you get home. Do it later on this week. But please get on the website. Those of you driving, those of you just listening on radio, as always, I'll describe as best I can. We're going to talk about genes. We're going to talk about DNA. We're going to talk about chromosomes, because they're all part of the same family, so to speak. And the big to-do about DNA is that the DNA molecule exists as a bunch of what we call nucleotides, a word some of you are familiar with. And in the human sequencing, there are four nucleotides: adenine, thymine, guanine, and cytosine. So DNA is comprised of four compounds called nucleotides, and the sequence of those nucleotides. If you take those four units, again, this is on the website. If you take those four units, those four nucleotides, adenine, cytosine, guanine, thymine. If you take those four nucleotides and you combine them in specific arrangements or different arrangements, you ultimately get different commands from the inside of the cell for whatever the cell is supposed to do, whatever it's supposed to make. As you know, the DNA is the central computer box of the cell, and the cell is giving out thousands and thousands of commands each day. Now, those nucleotides are in a spatial orientation. So the sequence is one specific characteristic, and then they're in a spatial orientation that creates what we call a helix, like a spiral staircase, which is co-merged with another helix. So we say the DNA double helix is a string of nucleotides. And that string of nucleotides, that double helical string, and again, I have pictures of this on the website, that double helical string goes on for a long, 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 long sequence. And along those sequences are specific areas, and those are called the genes. So nucleotides become a double helical structure that has great length to it, and along those lengths are sections called genes. And those genes are all along a chromosome. And we have 23 chromosomes. So you just go from nucleotides to genes to chromosomes. And that's it in a nutshell. what's relevant to you is that sequence of nucleotides. It can do many things. It can change as it does. There are invariable sequences. And the infinite number of sequences codes for an infinite number of things that each cell does, specific to the cell, specific to the human cell, specific to any other type of cell, and all the different types of things that those cells do. So years ago, we didn't know cells exist, and then we discovered cells. Once we discovered cells, we discovered cell function. And as we kept chipping away over the centuries, ultimately, we figured out there was something called DNA. And then in 1952, Watson and Crick figured out the molecular structure of DNA. And then in 2002, our human DNA was coded by a guy named Craig Venter and another scientist. Now, the last 15 years of DNA research have given us vast insight, all the way to the point where over the next 10 to 20 years, you'll be profiled to determine what the three or four diseases you're coded to get, you might actually get. Okay, now that's the history behind it. And again, what's relevant? What's relevant is since we've discovered DNA, since we felt we had a greater command over genetics, more and more and more, you will hear in the doctor's office, in the hospitals, when you look up and you say, why am I getting this? What happened? How do we explain this? You'll be told bleakly that this is simply a matter of genetics. And that's a very fatalistic approach. All right, now we're going to challenge that. We're going to challenge that because that, in fact, is not really the truth. It's a dimension of the truth, but it by no means encapsulates the truth of the matter. And again, the whole field of epigenetics challenges this. But I want to get more specific, and as I do, you're going to get more comfortable with the notion, keeping in mind there are many, many scientists that stand next to me that are writing books, articles, and so on and so forth. And that's the upside of this, and that's what you want to take away from this show today, the upside of the fact. This is a show of hope for you, but as always, you've got to get the education. Now, give me 2 seconds. I just have to make an adjustment. Okay, thank you. Just a little change in the technology. All right, then. First thing we're going to discuss is what we call a primary sequence as opposed to a secondary sequence, as opposed to a tertiary and then quaternary sequence in the DNA molecule. Now, the reason I'm going to do this is because it's not just the sequence of nucleotides that dictates whether or not the gene expresses. So now I just said another mouthful. So if you have a genetic tendency for a disease, before you get that disease, that gene has to express. It has to start talking. It's got to get listened to. What it codes for, what the gene codes for, has to be responded to by the body. And just because you may have a tendency by virtue of your nucleotide sequence, just because you may have a tendency to express, a greater tendency to get cancer, you've got the BRAC25 gene, and that means you're more likely to get breast cancer. Somebody else doesn't have it, so they're not going to get it. That means you have a sequence of nucleotides along your chromosome that makes you more likely to get breast cancer. All that Angelina Jolie stuff, where her mom got cancer and she was coded for it. And so she went out and got the double mastectomy, and she's on